I love that hymn, and I still remember the first time I ever sung it. I didn't become a Christian until I was 19 years of age, so I wasn't used to singing hymns or carols or anything. And I remember the first time I ever sung that was at a service at Middlesex Hospital, where Rosemary was training to be a nurse. And I thought, wow, that's a great hymn, and I particularly love the idea there of the angels singing a love song. I wonder if you noticed that in the verses going round. Oh, hush your noise, you men of strife, and let the angels sing. Okay, well, nothing to do with the sermon, that. We've got a three-part series going on these Sunday nights on Humans of Bethlehem. The idea of this is taken from a website called the Humans of New York, apparently a very popular website. You've got photographs of ordinary people, and then you've got the personal stories behind the photographs. And as Tim mentioned last week when he kicked this series off, that every face tells a story. So you look at someone and you wonder, what's actually going on in their life? It's always a good thing to be thinking, isn't it? So you meet someone, what's going on in their life? Somebody volunteers to do something, and when somebody volunteers to do something, there's always more going on in their life than just the act of saying, yes, I'll do it. What's going on in someone's life? The faces of New York, the humans of New York. Last week, Tim took us through Mary and Joseph. Next week, well, it's going to be Jesus. And this week, we're thinking about the Magi. Now, people call these sometimes the Magi, but in the Greek, the G is hard. It's a gamma. So it's the Magi. And we wonder who these Magi people actually are. We're going to look at these Magi. I'm going to call them the wise men because it sounds nicer. We've only considered these wise men four times before. Christmas Day morning a few years ago, carol service a few years ago, Tuesday service 2 years ago, nativity service 3 years ago. So we're probably used to hearing about these wise men, but we've never looked at them in an ordinary service before. Actually, we did, didn't we? Because we've gone through Matthew's Gospel, so we must have looked at them before. Okay, well, let's look at them again tonight. So, the humans of Bethlehem, these wise men, they were only humans of Bethlehem for a short time, for their visit. A few things we don't know about these humans of Bethlehem, these wise men. We don't know what their faces look like. You'll probably receive Christmas cards with pictures of wise men on them. Sometimes they look very, very austere, severe rather, look very severe. They all look very religious as well, with very tall hats on. Who knows what they look like? They've been traveling for a long way, probably dirty and dusty. We're not quite sure what their faces were like, so we don't fully know what was going on behind their faces. But we get an idea from this passage of Scripture. It's assumed that there were three wise men because they brought three gifts. There might have been more wise men. There might have only been two wise men. That would ruin the symmetry, I know, but there might have been just been two. There might have been four. There might have been six. We don't know. We assume there were three. The country they came from, some say Babylon, some say Persia, some say the Arabian desert. Their profession, some say they were kings, some say they were astrologers. Let's call them wise men. The tradition of them being called wise men started in the year AD 225, when people began comparing the event of Matthew chapter 2 with the prophecy of Psalm 72, where we read there that kings will come to him. But they were called there. Sorry, the reason why they were called kings is because of Psalm 72, but we'll call them wise men because we'll see tonight that what they actually did was really wise. And there's three things that make them wise. First of all, they were wise because they knew when God was grabbing their attention. They knew when God was grabbing their attention. Look at verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." The star. What is this star? Well, there's been a lot of discussion and debate as to actually what this star was. And there's theories galore. So Johann Kepler, the German astronomer, suggested that this star was a conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn in the constellation of Pisces in 7 BC. Maybe. Others say it was a supernova, a star that exploded and gave off an enormous amount of light for many months. Others say it was Halley's Comet that passed by in 12 BC. Maybe we'll never actually know what this star was. But whatever the star was, the important thing is what it was doing. And actually, this star is God's attention grabber. He's using it to inform these wise men of something greater than actually what they could see through the star. And these wise men were wise enough to stop and think when something strange and unusual happened. We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. There's something going on here that we can't quite make out. There's something unusual here, and we want to find out what it is all about. What's happening? That star makes us think of something more. Do you know, God still grabs our attention today. He uses many different things to make us stop and think of something greater. And that's what the star did. It made these wise men stop and think of something greater. Sometimes God does that in our lives through outward things. When we see the earth charged with the grandeur of God, you stop and you think and you see a beautiful sunset or a wonderful river flowing by. You think, something more to life than just these things. Sometimes there's something inward going on in your life and you stop and think, well, why is that nagging me? What is going on? I can't get that out of my mind. Why do I keep singing that song? Why do I keep thinking about that person? Why do I keep coming across these various events that take place? And I can't work it out. There's something deeper going on. Sometimes it might be something disastrous, an illness for you, or an accident. The loss of someone dear might make you stop and think about life. Sometimes it might just be something happy, the sunset touch in life, and you wonder, why am I so happy? Sometimes it might be something spooky, something weird, something that you think, oh, that's a moment. What's going on? I'll stop and I'll think. You know, God gives us these star moments in our life so that we stop, we ask, and we search deeper, so that we stop our noise as people of strife and we think, there's something more to life than what I am and than what I've got. Now, foolish people, of course, move on far too quickly. They'll dismiss all kinds of events and the moment is past. But wise women and wise men will stop and they'll say, what's going on? And God used the star to grab these wise men's attention. And for us, it might be something just as powerful. And if we're wise, we'll take time to stop in our busy lives and to think deeper than the event. Well, that's the first thing. These wise men were wise because they noticed God's attention grabber. Second reason why they were wise was because they had a high regard for the scripture. They had a high regard for the scripture. In verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, we see how they found out where the Messiah was to be born. It was through the scriptures. In verse 3, we read, when King Herod heard this, about a king being born, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Why should he be disturbed? Well, because Herod didn't want a rival king. This particular Herod, and there's loads of different Herods, or there was loads of different Herods around, but this particular Herod was a really nasty piece of work. And he was a bit paranoid as well about being king and his throne. Indeed, this Herod was so paranoid about rivals that he had his wife killed, he had her mother killed, and her brother executed because he suspected them of plotting against his throne. So when he hears that there's a rival king that's to be born, he's disturbed, and Jerusalem obviously is disturbed as well because they wonder, what on earth is this king going to do? This King Herod, how's he going to react to this news? So King Herod, he calls together in verse 4 the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and he asks where the Messiah was to be born. And they come straight back with this answer, verse 5, in Bethlehem in Judea. Because it's got to fulfill the prophecy of verse 6, the prophecy from Micah. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. It couldn't be anywhere like Rotterdam or Rome. It had to be Bethlehem. That was the only place to be home. And born in Bethlehem, he surely was. The scriptures are authoritative and they cannot be broken. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. And there's still ancient prophecies that still have to be fulfilled as well. Maybe they'll be fulfilled in our lifetime or in a future generation. But prophecy has to be fulfilled. Prophecy cannot be broken. So when it said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, he had to be born in Bethlehem. And so these wise men were enlightened by the scriptures. You see, they saw the star, but there was a limitation to that star. And there's often a limitation to the spooky feelings or the happy feelings or the sad feelings that we have. They can take us so far, but no further. So this star led these wise men to a certain place, but they still needed the scriptures to lead them to the right place. And that's what the scriptures do. The scriptures lead the wise men to the Savior. For the Bible is God's revelation, God's word to lead us to the right person, the right thing. God's word is about himself. God's word speaks to us. Many people use God's word, the Bible, as an ammo box to provide bullets to shoot down those they don't agree with. Other people use the Bible as a lucky dip bag, providing a nice thought for the day. Some people use the Bible as a superstitious charm, keeping on your shelf to ward off demons. Other people just see the Bible as a nice present to give out at christenings and weddings. But the Bible is the word of God. It's treasure. All scripture is God-breathed, able to make us wise for salvation. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And there's so many books around today that offer us advice on lifestyle and guidance about certain things. The shelves are stacked full of them. But it's the scriptures that get right to the heart of the human condition. God speaks to us through his word. So don't settle for the star. These wise men didn't settle for the star. They saw the star, they followed the star, and they went to the scriptures. And if you feel that God is showing you some kind of event, something going on in your life that you can't make head or tail of, don't just stop with that moment. Go on to the scriptures and see what God is saying. Wise people do not stop with a strange experience. They dig into the Bible to find out what God requires of them. Well, that leads us to our third and final thing. And that is that these men were wise because they worshipped Jesus. So they were wise because they heeded God's attention grabber. They were wise because they searched the scriptures. Thirdly, they were wise because they worshipped Jesus. Verses 9, 10, and 11. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and they saw the star they had seen when it rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. But on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They found the Savior. The star led to the scriptures, the scripture led to the Savior. And here is some sight, verse 11. these wise men, these rich men, grown men, bowing down, opening their treasures, and worshipping a baby. That is the fulfillment of Psalm 72 that we read. In Psalm 72 it says, "May Jesus rule from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him." Psalm 72. And that's exactly what's happening there in Bethlehem. They bow down and they worship him. See, they recognize that this child, this baby, is no ordinary baby. It's a special star to guide them. There's scriptures that speak of him. He's the King of the Jews. They bow down and they worship him. They recognize it's all about Jesus. So there's no selfie stick there in the manger. There's no wise men saying, "Look at me here, this great event." No, it's all about Jesus. They're looking at him. We know who Jesus is. He's the Lord of all glory. The angel said to Mary, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." And there really is no one greater than Jesus. No one more powerful than him. No one more loving than him. No one kinder. No one more full of justice and grace than Jesus. The Savior of the world, the Redeemer of the human race, the light of the world, the one who gives life to everything, the one who is the very meaning of life. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we too will be wise if we bow down and worship him. What is it that we worship? What do you worship? Who do you worship? Who do you live your life for? There are many things that hold us in their power. But does that thing that holds you in its power, does it provide you with real meaning and with an eternity with God? Wise people worship Jesus, which means not just words, not just hymns, not just nice thoughts on a Sunday, but a life given over to him. And he, in turn, fills our life with forgiveness, peace, and lasting joy. The star, the scriptures, the Savior, the wise men saw the star, read the scriptures, found the Savior. Don't sell yourself short. Don't stop with the weird, unexplainable experience. Don't even stop with the scriptures. Find the Savior through the scriptures. Wise men seek him. Wise men still do. Let's pray together.